Good evening. In the news tonight, President Barack Obama on YouTube comes out in support of Hillary Clinton.
I'm with her. I am fired up, and I cannot wait to get out there and campaign for Hillary.
Bernie Sanders says he hopes to meet with Hillary Clinton to work on defeating Donald Trump.
And I will work as hard as I can to make sure that Donald Trump does not become president of the United States.
From today's PDF 16 conference, lessons from the Sanders campaign. A look at New York City's new budget, and at City Hall, a Father's Day pledge to end domestic violence.
I pledge to
never commit, condone, or remain silent.
Never commit, condone, or remain silent.
About domestic violence. Intimate violence.
With these
intimate
and other
violence.
Stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Thursday, June 9th, 2016. In an online video, President Obama calls on Democrats to unify behind his former Secretary of State's bid and build on the progress of his 8 terms in the White House.
So I want those of you who've been with me from the beginning of this incredible journey to be the first to know that I'm with her. I am fired up, and I cannot wait to get out there and campaign for Hillary.
And Obama praised Bernie Sanders for engaging young voters and highlighting important issues.
This has been a hard-fought race. I know some say these primaries have somehow left the Democratic Party more divided. Well, you know, they said that 8 years ago as well. But just like 8 years ago, there are millions of Americans, not just Democrats, who've cast their ballots for the very first time. And a lot of that is thanks to Senator Bernie Sanders, who has run an incredible campaign. I had a great meeting with him this week, and I thanked him for shining a spotlight on issues like economic inequality and the outsized influence of money in our politics, and bringing young people into the process. Embracing that message is going to help us win in November. But more importantly, it'll make the Democratic Party stronger, and it will make America stronger.
After his meeting with President Obama on Thursday, Bernie and Jane Sanders exited the White House, and Bernie Sanders addressed reporters. He thanked President Obama and Joe Biden for not keeping their thumb on the scale during the primary season. He said this is the wealthiest nation in the world.
We should not be having millions of senior citizens and disabled veterans struggling to put food on the table because of inadequate Social Security benefits. We should not have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth. We should not be having Americans in inner cities, in rural communities, on Native American reservations who have life expectancies lower than many people in third world countries. We should not be having many of our young people leaving college deeply in debt. We should not be having in this great country an infrastructure which is crumbling when we have millions of workers prepared to rebuild that infrastructure. And in the midst of all of that, we should not be having a situation where Wall Street, corporate America, and billionaires are failing to pay their fair share of taxes.
These are the issues Sanders says his campaign will take to the Democratic National Convention in July. For Sanders, Trump would be a disaster as president of the United States.
It is unbelievable to me, and I say this in all sincerity, that the Republican Party would have a candidate for president who in the year 2016 makes bigotry and discrimination the cornerstone of his campaign. In my view, the American people will not vote for or tolerate a candidate who insults Mexicans and Latinos, who insults Muslims, who insults African Americans and women. Needless to say, I am going to do everything in my power, and I will work as hard as I can to make sure that Donald Trump does not become president of the United States.
Sanders, who is competing in the D.C. primary next Tuesday, says he's a strong supporter of statehood for the District of Columbia, that it has a population about the same as Vermont. He also says he looks forward to the full count of votes in California. and on Hillary Clinton.
I spoke briefly to Secretary Clinton on Tuesday night, and I congratulated her on her very strong campaign. I look forward to meeting with her in the near future to see how we can work together to defeat Donald Trump and to create a government which represents all of us and not just the 1%.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. At the Personal Democracy Forum, the PDF 2016, held at NYU on Thursday, Zach Exley, who worked on Bernie Sanders' campaign, says it was one of the most intense years of his life, where the political mood changed in a big way.
What Bernie did, God love him, what he did is as a senator, using his position, he was able to step out there knowing that he was not the ideal presidential candidate, right? He was a little too old, too hand-wavy and weird. And he was a socialist and, a lot of us, probably him, I don't know, thought that his whole attempt might just be a thud. Maybe that's why he waited so long to do it. But when he came out and, gave us this stump speech, and the other thing I said, I asked people, what is Bernie actually talking about that's got you so fired up, Well, he's talking about jobs, and he's talking about free college education. I was like, is that it? That's the whole vision? And they said, well, when was the last time a presidential candidate got up there and actually talked about, let's rebuild American infrastructure to provide some jobs and something like free college tuition, right? And remember Sarah's story, they went into debt. They were, the college, going to community college and getting some extra skills was their only way of surviving. That was something really tangible for them. So with this little vision, right, like Bernie wasn't actually giving us a big vision about how to rebuild the American economy and reform our political system. He was talking about stuff he wanted to do, values. He was kind of giving us a little puzzle piece, one little jigsaw piece of this, what could have been or what might someday be a big holistic vision about how we totally reform our political system, totally reform our justice system. Right, totally decarcerate, get the 2.5 million people out of prison that should not be there, and totally switch over to 100% renewable energy. We know we can do that. We know that it's physically possible to do that. We could do it in 5-6 years, and to rebuild our infrastructure, and to build the missing industries in this country that we should have been building, like all the other major industrialized countries. And what if we did all that? What if there was a vision for all of that, right? Think about how much harder people would fight, right? And so I think what we just saw on the Bernie campaign was that people are so hungry, they're suffering, and they're so hungry to get this one, that even one little corner of a vision like that delivered by a candidate who even his most ardent supporters were not sure was the most incredible messenger, and even whose most ardent supporters did not think would be able to actually execute on that vision all alone, right? Well, what everybody was saying everywhere I went just imagine, right, what could happen with a political movement that was not just going after one office, but all the offices, and with a whole vision, the whole thing, right? What we learned was that when Bernie suggested some of these things which were radical, free college tuition, like in the 60s, right? Radical, something that could never possibly exist, like in every other industrialized country, right? Radical. And when he suggested that, people went wild, and we had hundreds of thousands of people working like crazy, right? And it is amazing, the tools and these new tools and technology. I would love to say that we were the ones and that my team provided all of these tools and all of these special things to people all across the country that enabled them to make something like 200 million calls to voters in Iowa, in New Hampshire, in the Super Tuesday states. But we did provide some pretty cool tools that did let them do a lot of work. But what really happened, because there wasn't a whole lot of preparation for the Bernie campaign, he kind of walked out of the Senate and said, let's run. And that was about a year ago, right? And so what really allowed people to come together in all these communities to actually show their teeth and show you and show everybody, show the establishment that they meant business, was this whole change in the structure of the people. This change in the fabric of what holds us together. And people were able to organize on Facebook, on all these other social media platforms in a way that was not possible even in 2012. And there are new tools that allowed them to actually form really well-organized groups like Slack. We've got so much collectively, we've got so much experience and so much skill among us. Let's put together that big vision and let's get a whole bunch of amazing people who are the perfect messengers and who are really committed, and let's build the campaign of our dreams.
Zach Exley, who works on the Sanders campaign, spoke on Thursday at the PDF Forum, the Personal Democracy Forum held in New York City. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
How early is it?
In New York City, it's budget season, and at a surprisingly early date and hour, elected officials gathered at City Hall yesterday afternoon for an announcement. Gotham Gazette's Ben Max has this report.
Mayor Bill de Blasio and the New York City Council announced a budget deal on Wednesday, well ahead of the start of the new fiscal year, which is July 1st. They said it was the earliest announcement of an agreement on a new budget in 15 years since 2001, something they are very proud of as the City Council and the de Blasio administration continues to work collaboratively and, for the most part, see eye to eye on most spending and policy initiatives. It also helps, of course, that the city is in excellent financial health, the economy is booming, there are many, many jobs being created in New York City, new sectors developing like the technology sector. And the mayor and the city council have a lot of money to work with. There are, of course, major problems and major issues to address, and the inequality that de Blasio and the city council have targeted has not necessarily been reduced to the extent that they would like. Now, between the mayor's executive budget announcement and this adopted budget, which will be finalized in the coming days and voted through by the city council probably next week, there were several changes made, mostly additions to spending and some corrections on savings, that pleased the city council. Again, because the city is so flush with cash, as some council members have said, de Blasio was able to acquiesce to several city council demands for additional funding from his executive budget plan to this budget agreement. Those include more money for cultural institutions, for the district attorney offices, for summer youth employment, summer camps for younger kids, and several other initiatives. Both Mayor de Blasio and City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito touted not only that the budget was agreed upon early, but also that it's fiscally responsible and progressive.
With this budget agreement, once again, this council has proven itself to be a champion for all New Yorkers in all five boroughs. Whether you're a young person who will gain her first paid work experience through our expanded summer and year-round youth employment programs. Whether you are an undocumented New Yorker who will have access to free, comprehensive legal assistance and adult literacy services. Whether you're a homebound senior who will have better access to counseling and more support from the city, or a struggling parent or caregiver who will have an easier time putting food on the table with help from the Emergency Food Assistance Program, this is a budget for everyone. We are investing in jobs, we are investing in youth, and above all else, we are investing in you, New Yorkers, and we are investing in our future. Because even as we build upon our commitment to uplifting New Yorkers, from Mott Haven to Midwood, and in every neighborhood across the city, we've also made responsible investments to ensure that our city continues to thrive. That's why we're increasing our city's reserve levels by adding $250 million to the Retiree Healthcare Benefits Trust, and why we've laid the groundwork to make sure our economy keeps growing for decades to come. Over the last several months, the City Council has made expanding opportunities for New Yorkers, investing in our youth, and safeguarding the city's future our top budget priorities. And throughout the negotiation process, our commitment to standing up for these priorities and to fundamentally improving the lives of New Yorkers never wavered.
For the most part, de Blasio and the council have gotten good marks from budget monitors and ratings agencies about the city's fiscal health. Some say that they're not saving quite enough for the inevitable economic downturn, but de Blasio dismisses those critics and says that there's about 10% of the city operating budget in reserves now, which are at unprecedented levels in terms of their total amounts. Now, this budget clocks in at just over $82 billion for the next fiscal year, which begins in July, and includes just about something for everyone. One area of budget concern that the details are still being worked out for is the plan to save New York Health Plus Hospitals, the city's public health system that is under serious financial strain. That and more will be worth watching as we find the final details of the city budget when it's passed over the coming weeks. For WBAI, this is Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
Community members and elected officials gathered on the steps of City Hall on Thursday to take a pledge to end domestic violence. Zita Petrohai was there, and she sends this report.
So, repeat after me. I pledge to never commit, condone, or remain silent.
Never commit, condone, or remain silent.
About domestic violence.
About domestic violence.
Intimate violence.
A powerful pledge. It shows how passionate people are about combating domestic violence, that it's a community effort.
I pledge to educate myself.
I pledge to educate myself.
And challenge abusive attitudes.
And challenge abusive attitudes.
That condone disrespectful behavior.
That condone disrespectful behavior.
Or sexist and degrading language.
Or sexist and degrading language.
Toward anyone.
Toward anyone.
Take action to prevent and end all forms.
Take action to prevent and end all forms.
Of violence with love.
Of violence with love.
Compassion.
Compassion.
And without judgment.
And without judgment.
We have to send a message loud and clear that our women are sacred, that it is the responsibility of a city to make sure that they are safe, whether they are in a cab, coming home late at night, if they are in their own home, if they are walking to and from the train station, if they are taking public transportation, or wherever they choose to be.
Lori Kumbo chairs the City Council's Women's Issues Committee.
Well, I think that we're doing incredible work because this is a partnership work, as Controller Scott Stringer said. Legislation and resources are 50% of that work, and we are certainly putting forward a lot of legislation, particularly around things such as sexual assault, issues around making it, we want to put panic buttons inside of all our taxi cabs and liveries, so that way women feel safe coming to and from. We want to make sure that there's additional park safety elements that are created throughout parks so that women feel safe in parks, particularly at night. We want to do things such as making sure that we implement 911 texts, which will give women an opportunity to take photos, upload video, and to respond with call takers quicker, more faster, and more efficiently, especially in incidences where it's not possible in your home or in other instances to make that call. So that's legislation. We're increasing funding for Dove, which is our opportunity to put funding into domestic violence initiative funding. But again, that's only half the battle. We've got to do more events and programs like this.
The credibility that we have with each other as men is key to opening up the doors, letting down our vulnerabilities and letting down our guard.
For Juan Ramos, what's important is for men to become more active on the issue of domestic violence. Ramos is with Crown Heights Mediation Center, which works to make the neighborhood safer.
And truly seeing violence against women as something that impacts us, regardless if we're doing it or not. Because sometimes as the good guys, we're just as bad as the bad guys because we do nothing about it. Our silence excuses their behavior. So we need to be more active around the issue. I think we need to begin to, instead of showing up and thinking that we're going to save women, to begin to listen to women and how they experience us in this city, and kind of take that as leadership to do the work that we need to do that is necessary to end violence against women.
Mario Walker is with Connect, which works with domestic violence victims.
I look at this more of a race point of view, right? If we could keep women safe, it will keep us safe. If we could speak to the community, whether the police department, to keep us safe, we'll be safe. So this is all, to me, is connected to safety, whether it's women, whether it's men, whether it's young folks, immigrants, all of us need to be connected in terms of safety.
City officials say violence in the city is going down, yet violence against women is going up. That's why events like this and pledges to put an end to domestic violence are so important. Zita Petrahai, WBAI News, New York.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, June 9th, 2016. The news was produced with Zita Petrohai, Ben Max of Gotham Gazette, and Reggie Johnson at WBAI's Brooklyn studio. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.